So as you know, we're doing a series of messages on the love of God, the greatest commandments in the Bible, to love God and to love people. And we're willing to tackle this, I believe. We would all say, yes, I'm going to try and love God and love other people as much as I can. And today's verse that I want to look at is challenging us to go a step further than that, to love people more than we can. Today's verse asks us to do something so completely radical that it will stand out to all the world. And I'm not saying that it's radical because it's a new concept. We've never heard about this before. I'm saying it's radical because I believe it's something that we don't see. It's so rare to actually see this being lived out in the heart of people and Christians. And in fact, I think it's impossible to live this verse out in our own power and ability. And fortunately, we have the Holy Ghost to help us out. And I'm talking about John 13. John is recording Jesus talking to the disciples on the eve before his crucifixion. And as you can imagine, he's trying to share with them things that are really important. Guys, remember this. If you forget everything else that happened over these 3 years, remember this stuff. This is important. This is really important. This is the last time I can share with you. Remember this stuff. And then he hits them with this verse in his devotional in John 13, 34. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. And it's fairly easy to glide over that statement, nod our heads and say, yeah, that's right. Well, that sounds good. Love each other. We're going to do that. But if we look more carefully, it'll probably make us uncomfortable. So let's be uncomfortable this morning and break it down a little bit and dwell on what Jesus is saying. And the first thing I want to highlight is that he's saying, I'm giving you a commandment. Jesus didn't say it would be nice if you loved other Christians, but you don't really have to. It's okay if you just like them. Actually, it's all right if you downright don't like some of them, because some of those guys have weird ideas. I'm giving you a new commandment. This goes right up there beside, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. You will love believers in Jesus Christ. And I have no need to recount all the division and hostility within the ranks and between the groups of those who claim to be followers of Jesus. We all know it. Today we're simply looking at ourselves and listening to the Word of God. He commands us to love people who are followers of Christ. There's people who love Jesus that we don't agree with, and there's days when someone who believes in Jesus smacks you right in the mouth. Figuratively speaking, maybe literally on a really bad day. I hope you've never had that happen. And it's as hard as a frozen hockey puck to love people sometimes. I mean, they really hurt you. We can understand that. I mean, that hurt. Maybe they made you feel unwelcome. Maybe they made you feel like you didn't belong. Maybe they made you feel like you didn't stack up to their standards of how things should be done. Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe they let you down. Maybe they just fell down so far. You're just like, how could a Christian do that? Think of a multitude of reasons and experiences why it's hard to love a fellow believer sometimes. None of those things matter. This is not a warm, fuzzy, dancing through the tulips, playing your ukulele kind of thing. This is not an option. It's a commandment. And it's even harder than just on the face of it, because Jesus goes on to say, love each other as I have loved you. Whoa. Jesus, hold your horses. Just a minute now. You say we should love other believers. Okay, I'm going to try to do that. No, this is a commandment. All right, okay. I'm going to love people. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to love. Sometimes they hurt. Sometimes they do crazy things. Sometimes I don't get where they're coming from. I'm going to love them. Love them as I have loved you. Oh, come on. Seriously. How can I possibly do that? Why are you commanding me to do something I can't possibly do? And that's why I say we need the Holy Ghost. This is a commandment I don't think any of us can do in our natural abilities. And so I want to look a little bit at what does it mean to love like Jesus loves. And there's 5 things that I thought of. There's probably lots of ways you could, points you could make on how Jesus loves. But I thought of 5. And I thought I would get through them all today. But I kind of got just found out I had a lot to say on the first one, so this might take me a few weeks. And the first thing I want to focus on and how Jesus loves is pretty obvious probably to all of us, and that's sacrificially. Obviously, we're all here today because we know Jesus died for us. We didn't deserve it. He took our place. We didn't have anything to offer him. He gave us everything. And I want to point out that this command to love is so strong that Jesus says it twice in the night before his crucifixion. I read John 13. John 15 is a continuation of the same devotion, the time Jesus is spending with his disciples before he's crucified. John 15, he says it again, John 15, 10. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. And then he foreshadows what his love is like and what he's going to do for love. And he says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we haven't gotten to that place yet in our corner of the world where we have to physically lay down our lives. But there's other ways that we have to give our life. And in some ways it might be easier. The whole idea harder than physically dying. Like dying to self may be harder than physically giving our life. I don't know, I've never had to answer that question. But physical death is one and done. It's not great, we're not looking forward to it, don't want it to happen, but at least it's over. Like, I gotta die for that guy? Well, let's get it over with. At least I'll be gone. At least I'll be in heaven. At least I'll be with Jesus, dying for that jerk. But dying to self, a lifelong process filled with sacrifices, and it doesn't come easy. You know, you might not think this is a big deal, but for me it kind of is. Recently, the Filipino congregation in town asked if our church is available for rental. They want to grow their congregation, and they want to move out of the space they're in, and they said they needed room for about 30 or 40 people. And when they showed up here, there was a couple there that used to go to this church. And it was so long ago, I didn't quite remember, but they even said they were here before. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I remember you guys. They didn't remember me because they said, well, the guy here had long hair. I've been here for 15 years. They just don't. Maybe I look a little different over the time, but I've been here a while. I remember them. And a past version of me would have been jealous that they have more people than I have, for one thing, and bitter that some of the people they have used to come to my church and could have been here helping me. And I felt that way just a smidgen for a couple of seconds. But God's been working on me and healing me and helping me. And I started just feeling like, that's good. Good for you guys. If God's work is happening, if you're reaching people for Jesus Christ, and if you're growing the kingdom of God, good for you. Hey, and if we can help you, good for us. Good for all of us. There's no you and me. There's only us. We're brothers and sisters. So if the kingdom of God is going forth, right on. And I had another way is I had an idea to do a comedy night, which we've done, and it turned out great. And my idea was that maybe we could do it here. Maybe we could attract some people from this community. Maybe they could get comfortable coming here, find out this might be some place they like to come. Maybe we could make some friendships, talk to them, have a coffee, do that kind of a thing. But the idea went in another direction, and we wound up doing it at the Alliance Church. And it also made me think, I'll give you another example. Lots of examples. I've been leading worship at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast for a number of years, helping out, doing it together, partnering with Bill. But Bill gets all the credit. It's like, Bill's the guy that does it. I'm like, I pick out the songs, I help lead, we're doing this together. Bill's gone, oh, what are we going to do? Well, I guess we could ask Alan. I've been doing it all these years. And it's entirely possible that the Alliance Church will get all the credit for helping out Fort Saskatchewan by raising funds, you know, because that's the building we were at. And it was my idea. I booked the talent. I reached out to find out if there is a need in the city. And the community pastor was kind of aware of this. And she said to me, as we were making plans, she said, sorry for stepping on your event. And I said to her, without any ounce of regret or insincerity. I said, if people come here, if people from the community are drawn to this event and they come here to the Alliance Church and they decide to join your congregation because they think your congregation is one that's reaching out into our community, that's great. If God's kingdom is being built and your congregation grows and I helped that to happen, that's a win for my team. That's a win for my team. And I don't feel jealous about that at all. I used to. A few years ago, I would have been jealous about that, bitter about that. I wouldn't want to, you know. Now I can join in wholeheartedly, and I'm not trying to pump myself up. I'm just saying God's helping me. We're all believers in Jesus. We love each other like Jesus loves us. And that means we can love sacrificially. That means if my dreams of growing an enormous congregation in Fort Saskatchewan and being a powerhouse and people knowing that we're doing good works and seeing the kingdom of God coming and all that kind of stuff, if all I ever am is a pastor of a group of 10 people who help all the other churches grow, and if other churches, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever church, if they meet here, if we're providing the space for them to do that, and a really cheap rent so they can, I'm getting half my wage, but if they get a cheap rent to be here, and God's kingdom grows, that's a win for my team. And I'm happy to do that. I wouldn't have been last year. I don't think I could have said that honestly. But today I can. That's a win for my team. If I can lay down myself, if I can learn to love other Christians the way Jesus loves them, then I'm growing. And it relates to the message that I preached last week. He who loves knows God, for God is love. And the only way to love like Jesus is to know God. And so as we come closer to God, we're going to open up our hearts in a greater way to our community and to other believers. And so what are some areas in your life? Sharing, testifying a little bit. What are some areas in your life that you need to lay down, that you need to sacrifice so that brothers and sisters can flourish? How about in our marriages? That's a challenge. And don't be all like, oh yeah, I do that all the time. Don't give me that. I think marriage is the relationship, one of the easiest relationships to get selfish in. Over the years, we let little things build up that annoy us, little habits that bug us, little things we disagree on, little things can become a battleground of wills. I'm not talking about anything serious. Like, we're not getting divorced over these things, but just on the bad days. I'm not giving in today. I'm not even going to try. I don't want to think of any examples because that's too... That's too real here, too close to home, literally. But think of your own little examples, just one little thing, you know, it's just something you're going to be stubborn over. It's not a big deal, but we're just being selfish. We don't need to be stubborn, but we're going to be. We're not going to give in this time. And I'm talking about the bad days. On the good, you know, mostly we're all decent, but we all have bad days. And we'll be kind to that stranger that cut us off. And we're smiling and we're waving because we want to show the love of Jesus. God bless you. But when we get home, no, I'm not giving any ground. So easy to be self-centered and selfish in our relationship with the one person who deserves our best. I mean, they actually deserve it. That random person that cut you off in line, that jerk, they don't deserve a thing from you. But your wife, your husband, who is there for you when you were unemployed, when you were in for surgery, when you lost a friend or a family member, when you were depressed, discouraged, who's given you literally the best years of their life? Man, they deserve something from you. Do they ever? A little sacrificial love from you and from me. Not only because of everything they've given us, but because as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, it's actually a commandment. And there's other places when Jesus talks even more specifically to the husband-wife relationship. Husbands, love your wives. And I had no intention of talking about marriage when I was preparing this message, but that's what the Holy Spirit just put into my heart as I was writing. Self-sacrificing love isn't just for random Christians who are building the kingdom of God. Yay, team! Like, oh, I'm happy to sacrifice, build your kingdom. It's for our families who love Jesus. And it's especially for our spouses. When Jesus says the world will know we're Christians by our loves, this is one of the ways he meant it. Marriages that are going against the grain. Husbands and wives that visibly and clearly love each other and are willing to sacrifice their own agendas for each other. And I need to get better at that. And maybe you do too. It's not enough, not near enough, to save the world if the people right there closest to us are suffering. I don't believe God takes any pleasure in that at all. If you and I use up all our grace and all our patience for all the people of the world that we have to deal with all day long, and we come home and we're tired and grumpy and snappy at our spouses and our families, we've failed. We've failed to please Jesus. If you're going to snap at someone, if you have to snap at someone, snap at that jerk who cut you off and save your grace for your family. If you have to choose, if it has to be a choice, be grumpy and miserable at work, grace, love, peace in your home. Ideally, God's working on us all and we're all more graceful everywhere. But you know what I'm saying. And that's all I have to say on that today. John 13, 34. I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And if we're serious about obeying Jesus, we're going to learn to sacrifice ourselves in love for fellow believers, for our families. And I believe this is a love that can only come from God. I'm not going to definitely stand here and say, man, I got that kind of love just oozing out of me. Man, I'm full of love. You all know me too well. You'll be like, don't give us that, Pastor. I need more of God's grace. I pray for that daily. Give me more grace, God. Give me more of your love. Because to know God is to know love. Because God is love. Get to know God. Get to know the God who would give anything for you so that you can become a person who would give anything for a brother and sister in Christ. Let's pray.